In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our second lesson appointed for this Sunday. Translation is the NIV 11. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. This is God's Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, our Advent King, dear fellow redeemed. A little bit earlier in this second letter, the Apostle Peter told his readers that the reason he wrote these two letters to them was so that they would have a wholesome mind. He told them that they would need a sincere mind, a mind that follows reason and knowledge, rather than one that is overwhelmed by emotion and the way you might want things to be, so that they would be able to withstand the scoffers and the liars among whom they lived. There were two areas in particular that these scoffers and liars liked to mock and deny. The first one was that Christ was going to come again soon because it had been years and He hadn't come back, so there was no reason really to think that He would. And the other one was the denial of creation. The denial and the lie that God did not create the universe and the world and everything in them with His powerful word. The readers of Peter's letters include us, don't they? So Peter wants us to examine things with a wholesome mind, with a sincere mind, to have beliefs based on knowledge and the revelation of God's Word as the Spirit enables us to believe it, even with our human reason, to accept it, even if we can't understand it, so that we too are able to stand strong against the scoffers and the liars among whom we live, and who will increase in number and in their mockery and lies as Jesus' second coming approaches. The aged apostle's point revolves around this question we heard in our text. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And Peter answered his own question, you ought to live holy and godly lives. That answer leads to our theme, repentant readiness for Jesus' return. First of all, this means that we do not abuse God's patience. And secondly, it means that we do look forward to a new world. Recall from last week in our Advent candle lighting litany that the general theme of the first Sunday in Advent was watchfulness. This week, as we went through the Advent litany, I hope you saw that the theme this week is repentance. God wants to find me, and He wants to find you with repentance in your heart when He returns. And this repentance is repentance in the broad sense. It includes contrition over sin and faith in Jesus for forgiveness. It is the repentance that we look for and seek every week as we prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper. When we ask ourselves the question, do I believe that I am a sinner? Do I believe that I deserve God's wrath and punishment for my sin? Am I sorry that I have sinned against the Lord? And do I believe that Jesus Christ is my Redeemer? Do I believe that Jesus' blood has washed away all my sins, and now I live in complete forgiveness? That is the attitude of the repentant heart that Peter exhorts us to, that manifests itself in our daily lives as Christians, that we live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day Jesus returns. That repentance is the attitude that God desires among all sinners. God wants all sinners to repent and to be saved. That is why He has not come yet, because this earth is still enjoying a time of grace for people to hear the word and repent of their sins. Think back to when God was going to destroy the world before Noah. And then God said, I will give the earth 120 years before I destroy the earth. I will give them that time of grace to repent. You and I are living yet, because the end hasn't come, in that time of grace that God is giving the world, because He wants everybody who is living now and until the end comes to be saved. That is His will. And so, soon, as the mockers were saying, hadn't come yet, Peter said, well, God doesn't look at soon like we do. God doesn't look at delaying things like we do. God is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. We understand slowness in a certain way because we are creatures of time. We live our lives in seconds and minutes and hours and days and years. We are subject to those 24-hour days. God doesn't live in time. God lives in eternity. Eternity, remember from Catechism, doesn't just mean no beginning and no end. It means no time, no past, present, or future. And so God can't be slow in keeping His promises, because whenever He does it, it's soon to Him. Whenever He does it, He didn't delay in doing it. because he did it at a time he knew was right. Peter adds that to God, a day is like 1,000 years. God didn't say a day is 1,000 years. There's that important little word like in there, simile, a figure of speech. This verse is not a commentary on Genesis 1 as to how long the days of creation really were. It is rather a testament to the eternity of God. It is a testament that God makes a promise and he seeks repentance and he will give all people an opportunity in their time of grace to repent and to be saved by his grace. To God there is no soon. There is no later. There is no delay. Don't let your concern be, when is Jesus going to return like a thief? Let your concern be your repentant heart. Do not abuse the Lord's patience. We live every day, every hour, every minute, every second in repentant readiness for Jesus' return. How foolish if I begin to think, tomorrow I'll really get serious about my spiritual well-being. Later, I'll take care of business when it comes to the attitudes about sin in my heart and whether or not I'm going to confess those sins and acknowledge those sins to God or to keep loving those sins in my life or denying that what God says is really a sin. Because the later that I'm looking for to take care of those may not come. Later, to take care of my soul and its eternal business may be something I never experience. And if I don't live this instant with a repentant readiness for Jesus' return, then the Lord would find me unready, impenitent, in unbelief, and then lost from him forever. Today is the day for repentant readiness for Jesus' return. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day when Jesus Christ will return, because it's always today to God. It's always today to Jesus. While we wait with repentant readiness for Jesus' return, we don't want to abuse God's patience with us. He is patient with us. He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to be saved. And so you and I are still living in our time of grace. And as we live in that time of grace, it means that we do look forward to a new world. The scoffers were saying that God did not create the universe and everything in it with his word. By God's grace, we, through faith, hold that knowledge, don't we? We believe that God created the universe in 6 24-hour hours a day with his word. And it is his word that holds it all together. When God withdraws his word, then he will send fire and will destroy and will melt everything in the universe, everything in this earth, everything in it will be laid bare. It'll be exposed. It'll be destroyed by God. Man does not have the power to do that. Then God will form a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we don't know if God's going to take all the same material that He created the first time and now has melted down and destroyed and will reform it into this new heaven and new earth, or whether all of that will cease to exist and God will recreate all new matter to create the new heaven and the new earth. And finally, it doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly, and there are good theologians, good Bible scholars who hold both views as being possible. But for us who believe in the first creation, it doesn't matter. Because we know that God, who created the first universe and heaven and earth, will also in some way create the new one for us. This world, with all of its sin and all of its weaknesses and all of its failures, and even our bodies, as far as the sinful nature is concerned, that'll all be left behind and destroyed. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, a material place of existence, where we will live only in the new man, in these physical bodies, because of Christ's physical resurrection. That is the place where righteousness dwells. We will dwell there through Christ's righteousness that is ours by faith. As I said, man does not have the power to destroy the world. Some of us who are older back in the day remember when mankind, in his smugness and his arrogance, thought that human beings could destroy the earth with atomic power and atomic bombs. Man never had that power. You know what's parallel today? Radical environmentalism. Radical environmentalism says that man has the power to destroy this earth. And he doesn't. Now, if there had been a nuclear war, and if we aren't good stewards of the earth, as God wants us to be, we could put a pretty good dent in this earth, and even in humanity. But it is only the arrogance of the scoffers and the mockers of creation and of Christ's return that think that man has that power to destroy the earth, and they don't believe that there's going to be anything new that comes after it. But because we know both of those things are true, that God is the Creator and Christ will return, that what God says about that new heaven and that new earth is true. And so we look forward to the day to speed its coming. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Again, you see there's a variant in the translation here. It could mean we speed its coming or we eagerly look forward to it. I like the speed its coming, which indicates how do we speed the end of the world. It's by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really a mission call to get the Word of God out into the world. Because when is this going to happen? When the last person whom God has called to salvation comes to know Jesus as his Savior. And then the world will end. Once again, it's not so much that I understand completely what the new heaven and the new earth are going to be. It's fun and interesting to have discussions about that, maybe even some good theological argument. But my main concern is not where it's going to be and what it's going to be. My main concern is that I'm there. My main concern is that I am waiting for Christ by not abusing His patience today, and to look forward to that new heaven and new earth, to speed its coming by sharing the gospel, to get ready for it by being spotless and blameless and righteous by faith in Christ's blood. You and I look forward to the new heaven and the new earth. And we know the way to get there. We look forward to it by living holy and godly lives as evidence of our faith. And the way to get there is with repentant readiness. Amen.